Shows of every kind invite the crowd. Shows that make us grip our seats with excitement.
A sample of the marvelous freaks you'll see for the price of a small bin burn.
Internet Freak Show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Internet Freak Show. So in various episodes on this podcast feed, I've talked about how people can use the internet to create new mysteries. But sometimes the internet solves mysteries rather than creates them. And this is one of those times. But before we get into that, I need to give you some background into the band Godspeed You Black Emperor. So if you're somebody like me, maybe you're not big into the music scene and maybe you haven't even heard of this band. Godspeed You Black Emperor is a band originally formed in Canada in 1994. They're an experimental rock group, and they've had actually quite a bit of success. Their most popular song is called East Hastings, and it was featured in the 2002 film 28 Days Later. Anybody that has seen the movie likely remembers that haunting song that plays as the film's protagonist wanders around a deserted London. But that's not the only success the band has had. Throughout the years, and despite the various drama that bands have with members leaving and hiatuses to pursue other projects, they've actually collected quite a cult following, and they still produce music to this very day. So while you may not have heard of this band, all you really need to know for the purposes of this podcast are that the band is popular in many circles and has rabid fans dying to hear their music. In 1994, shortly after forming the band, they assembled at a small studio in New Brunswick to record an album. This album had a very small run. Only 33 copies of a cassette tape were created in total. And over the years, every copy of that cassette tape vanished. Despite the best efforts by the fans to track down the missing album, they were unsuccessful. The album was destined to be lost forever. Even the band didn't have a copy. And to this day, the album is not included in their official discography. Most places list 1997's F-sharp A-sharp Infinity as their first album, ignoring the lost 1994 album, All Lights Fucked on the Hairy Amp Drooling. The album became sort of like an urban legend, with some doubting that the album ever even existed in the first place. But this mystery was laid to rest in 2013. A user on Reddit had found the missing cassette tape. The basic story is that he used to travel around to various studios and collect demo tapes from them. Sometime between 1994 and 1995, he stopped by the studio where this album was recorded and he picked up the demo tape. After that, it sat in a cardboard box for nearly 20 years. When, in 2013, he found the album while he cleaned out a closet. Like me, he had not heard of Godspeed You Black Emperor, so he Googled him and found the same information that I presented here before. Realizing that he may be sitting on an album that is much sought after, he took to the internet to look for advice. The user, named Casket Jacket, posted on the music subreddit looking for advice on how to handle this tape. So the subreddit was skeptical, of course, right? Because on the internet, everything is a lie until you prove it otherwise. So, to prove that he was in possession of the cassette, he posted photos. And the photos looked legitimate. The front of the tape was black with white handwritten text on it and a grayscale illustration. On the inside of the cassette were similar kind of scratchy styles of illustrations with hearts and stars and the number 3 inside of them. The subreddit exploded with feedback about this discovery. The user with the tape said he had no way to record the cassette tape into the computer for easy sharing, but he'd work on a solution in the coming days. And sure enough, Casket Jacket delivered again. He ripped 2 songs from the tape. The songs were called Random Lovely Moncton Blues and Dad Mom Daddy. He uploaded these to a random and obscure file sharing site. Fans of Godspeed You Black Emperor trudged their way through slow download speeds and timeouts, but they did eventually download and recover these tracks, and all of them vouched for the legitimacy of the tracks. These were the real deal. And this was the first peek at the band's first recording that had been lost for decades. So you can imagine the intense and passionate interest in these songs from the fans. But unfortunately, Casket Jacket did not share their enthusiasm. In fact, he seemed annoyed by the interest, leaving the conversation for hours or days at a time with excuses like attending a birthday party or just that he needed to get some sleep. At one point, he wondered about the legal ramifications of sharing these songs. If the band or the studio or anybody didn't want these songs to see the light of day, How would they react to somebody on the internet sharing the music anonymously? I'm going to defend this outlook a little bit, because obviously internet piracy is a thing, and it's a thing that can get you big fines or even booted from your internet provider. People are rightfully timid to share movies, TV shows, and music online, and Casket Jacket was obviously quite worried about this. He claimed that his wife was encouraging him to just sell off the cassette and let somebody else deal with the headaches of sharing it and the potential legal ramifications. Fans replied to these concerns with interviews from the band themselves, wishing the tape to be released. But this did not persuade Casket Jacket. Users wanting to hear the rest of the tape kept pressing and hoping to change his mind, but their conversation kept getting more and more heated until eventually another user called Casket Jacket a, quote, God-tier troll or the biggest asshole they had ever interacted with, end quote. Casket Jacket replied to this saying his mind was now made up and he would not be sharing the tape. Later, he came back for one final post. He apologized for the chaos that he'd caused among the fans, and he tried, one last time, to do right by the fans, the band, and the label. He'd promised that he'd reached out to the band's label and asked for permission to sell or share the tape. He also shared his plans to auction off the tape on eBay once he realized that it was safe to do so. It restored a little bit of hope and faith for the fans who still desperately wanted to hear the rest of the tape. But unfortunately, none of that would ever come to be. Casket Jacket deleted his Reddit account without ever posting another comment about the tape, and it never showed up on eBay. So, what happened to the tape? You know, only Casket Jacket really knows for sure. Throughout his postings about the tape, he alluded to selling it, wondering how much it was worth, and maybe using the proceeds of a sale to take his kids on vacation. So was all of this money motivated? Well, it's really easy to consider that possibility, right? If posting this was ultimately money motivated, maybe a user sent him a private message and made him an offer for the tape that he just couldn't refuse. Or maybe this wasn't motivated purely by money. Maybe Casket Jacket's concerns about piracy were legitimate, and he got spooked by all the attention and he gave up on the effort to share the tape. While it is possible that Casket Jacket is the, quote, God-tier troll, end quote, that he was accused of being, that actually seems like the least likely possibility to me. This is certainly a troll that got people very upset, but that seems almost accidental in this case. And why would he go through all the trouble of designing a cassette and finding a band or recording music that sounded like it may be from this band just to troll people? I actually believe that the tape is legitimate, and I believe it's one of few that still exist. After all, cassettes are an outdated technology. I'm sure that many of these tapes have been thrown away or simply listened to enough that the tape themselves fall apart. Those of us old enough to remember cassette tapes remember that they're prone to getting stuck in devices, and sometimes just exposure to heat and cold can ruin them. And for their part, even Godspeed You Black Emperor has disowned the tape, instead claiming that their 1997 album is their first legitimate work. So while this little story doesn't have the best resolution in the world, there's still hope for a happy ending in the future. There's no reason to believe that this cassette is gone or ruined. Maybe it's in a happier place, with a new owner, just biding his time until he can safely release it to the world. And these days, of course, the internet has changed the music scene forever. Cassettes and even CDs are no longer things that people purchase and keep on their shelf or in their car. Albums are streamed online almost exclusively now through services like Spotify. I'm sure there's hundreds or even thousands of stories out there similar to this one, in times of physical media when that media can be lost or destroyed. What separates this story from others is the continued success of Godspeed You Black Emperor and the rabid fan base that they still have. It's the only reason that this story matters at all. Casket Jacket, that Reddit poster who went around collecting demo tapes for several years, probably has a ton of albums made by guys who never made another one, and just went on to have normal and boring lives that nobody really cares about. Stories of lost media like this are becoming more and more rare as the internet ensures that media can live on basically forever. These days, the closest things that we'll get are bands doing experimental art, like the Wu-Tang Clan, who created an album with only one copy, selling it to the highest bidder to ensure that they controlled the release of it. That actually happened in 2014 with the album Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. In this case, though, the album was not an amateurly produced cassette tape. It was gifted in a hand-carved box with a leather-bound collection of lyrics and other details about the album. This album was purchased for $2 million by the, quote, pharma bro, end quote, Martin Shkreli. And if you think that he must be Wu-Tang Clan's biggest fan, you'd be wrong. He's been quoted as not even listening to it yet, but instead he bought it as leverage to hang out with celebrities who might want to listen to it. So, I guess Casket Jacket isn't the only one keeping an album all to himself, away from the loyal fans that would actually enjoy it. In Shkreli's case, he ended up going to prison for things totally unrelated to the Wu-Tang album, of course. But it shows the type of personalities that like to keep everything to themselves and share nothing. So that's it for this episode of Internet Freak Show. Thank you to everybody who has left a review on Apple Podcasts, and I would encourage everyone out there to continue leaving those reviews. Remember to check out internetfreakshow.com for transcriptions of these episodes, as well as photos and links to a couple of social media accounts, if that's your thing. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time, stay freaky.